That's a cool song called Don't Let It Bring You Down from an album London Town, underappreciated Wings album that was, I think, recorded mostly on a boat. We're talking with Grant Cameron about the Clinton UFO storybook. And as the book details, there were a lot of reasons that aliens and UFOs stayed in the news during the Clinton years. You had the Phoenix incident that there's a chapter on the Clinton interest in what happened there. There's the Mars meteorite that was discovered, where scientists thought it might contain signs of ancient life. There was the whole Roswell report. The Air Force was sort of pressured into revisiting Roswell, which it really didn't want to do. A lot of stuff going on. In addition to that, there were programs that looked into psychic phenomena that were run for a long time in secrecy. And that whole issue of the psychic connection, the issue of consciousness, is something that pops up again and again. And when we come back, I'm going to get into some of that with Grant Cameron. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Grant Cameron, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Chris Mellon, our second guest tonight, who at one of his jobs in the government was working for Bill Cohen, and who became he was a senator, he became a Secretary of Defense. You have a section in the book that deals with Bill Cohen. I wonder if you can tell us what role he played.
Well, one of the astronauts, Cooper, the guy that took the
film. Gordon Cooper, sure.
Yeah, with he has the film that he takes. He sees it's filmed at Edwards Air Force Base. This UFO lands there. He gets the film. He sends it to, he's told to send it to Washington. And then when Clinton is in, he goes to Cohen to try to recover this film. And Cohen says he can't find the he's not able to get the film. So the implication is that the Secretary of Defense is out of the loop. And that may be true. The Secretary of Defense may be out, CIA. The only one I would say that there's no way he's out of the loop is the president. So that may be a true story. That's how it sort of built up. But it's the same as everything else, that even if he did honestly try to find it, it's almost like the Keksberg files or anything else. They probably disappeared into wherever these files go, like the day after it happened, and they would not allow these files, in my opinion, they would not, for example, the Keksberg file, you would not allow the Keksberg files, the top secret files, to stay inside NASA in case, you know, some crazy guy released them under FOIA or something. So they're going to skim all the files from all the different agencies and move them to the MJ-12 or whoever's running the show.
Well, you remember the Bolander memo after Blue Book was shut down, and he says in this memo, this general says, well, yeah, cases involving national security will continue to go to the place where they've always gone before. Well, where is that place?
Yeah, that's where you get this idea about the MJ-12, which was an executive order by Truman, which means it's run out of the executive office of the president, and that's another reason why I say that the president has to know, because if it's run out of the president's office, also all security, like top secret, secret, confidential, all that stuff is executive order. It's not law. It's formed by executive order, which means the president of the United States is in charge of all the secrecy, all the classifications, all this kind of stuff. And according to the authorities, he doesn't have a security clearance. He can ask for whatever he wants, and that was confirmed. And there's a story I'd like to get before we get to the end of the show. Some new information that Paul Hellyer released. Yesterday we were at this event in Ontario, the hearing on ET disclosure, the public hearing, and we had reporters instead of congressmen like at the citizens hearing. And senators, we had reporters, and there was a lot of reporters in the room. There was a couple hundred people, I don't know how many, but lots of people in the room. And Paul Hellyer, of course, was the former Minister of Defense. He was also the Minister of the Department of Transport, and he was the Deputy Prime Minister in Canada, very high-level guy. And he stated, of course, we know that he didn't get anything when he was the Defense Secretary. And he stated in his testimony, he didn't bring up his testimony, but in the questions he stated that if I had asked for it, they would not have been able to refuse me. I would have been able to get the files. I just didn't know there was these UFO files. Otherwise, I would have asked for them. But the other thing that he said, I think, is pretty significant, and nobody's heard it before. It just happened yesterday. And this goes to the issue about, say, Bill Clinton. You're talking about Bill Clinton talking to Sarah McClendon, and she says, why don't you do something? She's talking about Greer. Why don't you do something about what this group wants? Why don't you release? And he bends over and he says, Sarah, there's a government behind the government, and I don't control it, which I think is the cover story. And here's a story told by Paul Hellyer yesterday that I'd never heard before, and Victor Vigiani, who ran this fantastic event, had never heard the story before. And he stated that he got a phone call from a guy who said, and I'm not 100% sure exactly, it was the emergency measures, and probably the director of emergency measures in Canada. And I don't know how many years ago this happened. If you ever get Hellyer on, he'll give you the details of the story. He gets a phone call from a guy, and he says, this guy is, he's got Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and he's dying, and he's got a story he wants to get off his chest. And he has decided that you are the guy he wants to tell it to. So Paul really doesn't do anything right away. And then the guy phones him back, and he said, he's coming near the cliff. It's almost the end. You've got to talk to this guy. So Paul goes and talks to this guy, and he's basically the equivalent to the FEMA director in Canada. And the guy said, I was briefed. The Americans briefed me, and they took me to Area 51, and I saw a craft. I was allowed to go inside the craft, and that's all the details Paul would give. And this guy, this is deathbed testimony, and this is Paul Hellyer, who's a pretty reliable guy in terms of, you know, what he was told and stuff. And so you have this guy. So the question is, if you're briefing sort of the FEMA guy from Canada, a foreign guy, and then we say the president doesn't know, this doesn't make any sense at all. And that ties in to, it actually makes sense that if you take a look at the UK separation from the EU, if you watch the coverage as the no vote was going, or the leave vote was getting higher and higher, CNN was watching the pound sterling fall and the markets crash in China. So if there's going to be a disclosure or something gets out of control, you're going to need the FEMA guy to, they're going to have a plan, what you're going to do in terms of all of the fallout. And if people go to my website, presidentialufo.com, on the Johnson site, when I heard Paul, I immediately knew, on the Johnson site, I have a story called The Johnson White House UFO and the Kecksburg, Pennsylvania UFO Crash. And in there, I detail the involvement of FEMA in the Kecksburg crash. When the crash occurred, the Blue Book records actually show that there was phone calls coming from the code name they used, and I figured it out later. The code name they used was Code Bluegrass. That turns out to be Mount Weather, the presidential bunker, where if there's a nuclear attack, that's where the president and the government will go now. Maybe they move it someplace else, but at that time, and in 64, nobody even knew this place existed. Nobody knew till 1974. But there was phone calls coming out of there talking about pieces of metal that were being discovered. And so in this article, I hypothesized that because they have connection there in this FEMA center, to Joint Chiefs of Staff, to the White House, to everything, because at FEMA, you have to have all the agencies, and that they may actually be running the recoveries. And this makes sense because I talked to one of Greer's witnesses, and of course, he didn't know all this kind of stuff. This was Stephen Lovkin, who claimed that he had heard Eisenhower talk about UFOs and stuff, and he was actually at that center. And he told me that that's where they ran the UFO stuff. And if you go back to Greer, you'll see this in the article, not Greer, to Bill Moore. Bill Moore, in the long before I ever wrote this article, talks about the cover for MJ-12 is this organization inside this center, which is exactly the same organization inside the center that was making the calls during the Kecksburg crash. So you get these connections that the FEMA director is read in. You're getting Canadian guys read in. Wilbur Smith, who ran the Canadian government UFO program, on his deathbed, he told his son's testified publicly about it, that he told his son that he'd seen the bodies, he'd seen the craft, the Americans had shown the craft. So it doesn't make really any sense that if these people are being briefed, that you're suddenly going to have the president who really doesn't know what's going on. But that was that's the cover that Bill had to use. And he basically said, I don't know what's going on, even though if you take a look when he was on the Kimmel show, he says, oh, I tried to figure out what was going on, and I couldn't figure out anything. And then in the next breath, he says, the Roswell thing was happening my second term, and I knew I was going to get a gazillion letters, so I got all the Roswell files and I reviewed them. So either you didn't know what was going on, or you got all the Roswell files and reviewed them. But he didn't say what he found in the Roswell files. And then when Ben Hansen does the review of Bill Clinton talking about this, it shows that Bill Clinton's being deceptive, even though he's saying, I don't know what's going on, I didn't know what was going on. And so that leads to other things that show that Bill Clinton probably wasn't telling the truth, and that is that when Barack Obama goes on the Kimmel show, he gets asked the question about, oh, the president doesn't know. So Kimmel says, I had Bill Clinton on my show, and he said he didn't know what was going on. So when you got sworn in and you went to the White House, what did you do? And Ben Hansen does the review, and before the interview starts, he says to Barack Obama, he says, you realize you're going to be watching your actions and how many times you swallow and stuff. And that was because the review had been done on Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama knew that they were going to watch how he answered the questions. So when he's asked that question, what did you do when you got in the White House? According to Ben Hansen on the review, he's breathing 42 times a minute because they're watching his lapel pin on high def move up.
Indicating what, that he's tense about it? That
Yeah, and he says, I can't reveal anything. So Bill's saying, I didn't know what was going on, and yet Barack Obama says, I can't reveal anything.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the president automatically gets a briefing on this topic, or some presidents are left out of the loop unless they push it?
No. I'm a Canadian. Americans are anally about their Constitution. You know, First Amendment, right to free speech, Second Amendment, right to carry arms, Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, all this sort of stuff. Everybody knows the Constitution. And you got to look at Barack Obama was a senior lecturer at the University of Chicago in constitutional law. So I say that people in government are guys who are just trying to do the best job that they can. And they're very, I mean, they all swear, an oath to uphold the Constitution. And in the book, I detail about six things that show that the president has to be involved. For example, there's a story at Los Alamos and at Area 51 that there's a live alien. So if you've got a live alien, you're dealing with aliens, you're dealing with a foreign power. And the only person that can deal or negotiate with a foreign power is the head of state. And that's the president of the United States. All the intelligence agencies, if people will say, oh, the CIA is covering up. And I say, okay, Google search CIA and mission statement. What does the CIA do? They have only one job. That is to provide the best intelligence to the president of the United States. So if they're not giving it to the president, are they giving it to the Russians? And I go through all these things constitutionally. The president has to be running the show. And so you get Bill Clinton saying no, but then you get Barack Obama saying, I can't reveal anything. And Barack Obama in March of 2012, he's in Roswell, and he's talking about Roswell. And just before he goes into the speech, he said, we'll keep our secrets here. Will Smith goes, Men in Black. He answers Will Smith's son about the aliens. He realizes he wants to talk about the aliens, and he's in the Situation Room, the most powerful place in the White House. He said, I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of extraterrestrials, but I can tell you if there'd been a top secret meeting and if there would have been a discussion about it, would have taken place in this very room. Then GQ magazine asks him about the alien stuff, and he says, well, you know, I always get asked about Roswell and the UFO stuff, and that top secret stuff isn't as exciting as you think it is. And it's like, what do you mean? There's not supposed to be anything. Forget about top secret UFO stuff that's not exciting. There's not supposed to be anything. So you get Barack Obama, who's different than Clinton. He doesn't lie, but he just tries to walk around it. And so what I'm saying now, the only thing that's going to resolve it, because anybody under the president, you can say they don't have a need to know, and I can accept that. But I can't accept the fact that the president doesn't know. So what I think you have to do is you've got to ask the president the question I asked Dick Cheney. So if everybody's out of the loop, I asked Dick Cheney the briefing question. Did you get briefed? That's the key question. Not whether you're interested in UFOs or do you see a UFO. Did someone walk in your office, swear you to secrecy, and give you the briefing? And I asked Dick Cheney, in all your jobs in government, were you briefed on the subject of UFOs? If so, when was it and what were you told? And he said, if I had been briefed on that subject, it would probably be classified, and I wouldn't be talking about it. And that's what it is. It's classified. They can't talk about it, and they protect the president. They have to give him plausible deniability, so they make it look like the Wizard of Oz is running the thing or a cabal, because George Knapp can't interview the Wizard of Oz. He can't find him. So, but everybody knows where the president lives. And you can see, you know, by Barack Obama, if Barack Obama is told, they're all told. and it constitutionally it doesn't make any sense. And if they're briefing Canadians, it doesn't make any sense that you're not telling the president and anybody else. And you even get, you know, situations where John Alexander has talked about the fact that somebody whispered in his ear that MJ-12 was real and that the names on the document are right. And then you get Greer's military advisor, the guy who sets up this famous meeting with the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They set up this meeting with this Tom Wilson, Admiral Tom Wilson, and the advisor on record has said that when they were leaving the office, and this is the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when they were leaving the office, they told the assistant to Wilson, said to him, you know that MJ-12 group you're talking about? We know all about them. We know that they exist, but we at the Joint Chiefs of Staff Intelligence do not have a need to know. So you can say all these people don't have a need to know, but the president, I mean, if you're dealing, you know, if he's the chief executive officer of the government, he's the head of all the intelligence agencies, he's the military, the civilian commander of the military. So if the military, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, I mean, if you're coming and brief me and you say, well, you don't have a need to know, Mr. President, I'll say, okay, fine, and then I'll just phone my, you know, chief of staff and say, you know, General Knapp was in here, and I want his boss in here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I want Knapp's resignation on my desk at 9 o'clock. You can't. It's like Hellyer pointed out, if the president asks for it, he has to be given it.
Because let me ask you this. We got to go to a break in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
If Hillary Clinton is elected, yeah, what do you anticipate would happen? She's made a promise that she's going to try to get to the bottom of it. She will release what she can release that doesn't endanger national security. She's got Podesta behind her, who clearly has an interest in this and who we suspect knows where something is stashed. What do you think would happen?
Well, I think they have a plan. I think her and John Podesta have a plan, because you remember that when she was on the Kimmel show, again, she was asked a question. Your husband said he didn't know what was going on. I asked him. He said he didn't know what was going on. And then she immediately started the response as if she had it planned. And the people started laughing, and then she waited, and then she said, well, I'm going to do it again. So she was very adamant about this. And in one of her statements that she made to the Breakfast Club, this radio station in New York City, she actually said she's going to look at it, and the national security thing. And then she said, and if I can't get an agreement to open it, which means she's going to have a meeting with somebody about this thing, that she knows the process. And she's going to try to get a meeting. She's in a box, because even if she goes in there and says, well, I can't release it because of national security, it's over, because then you've confirmed the cover-up. So she's in a box. The only way she can get out of the box is to say, I didn't find anything. But the way she's answering questions, the way she's dealing with it, where she says, you know, if I can get agreement and I'm going to do this again, she's very didn't hesitate to give that answer. It appears that they have something. I don't know what's going to happen, but it appears they have some sort of plan.
I want to get into consciousness. I don't think we have time before the break, but we can at least set it up. You know, I got emails from a couple of folks when they realized that you were going to be on the program. They said, Grant Cameron does great work, but he's got kind of touchy-feely, spacey lately, talking about consciousness and things of that sort.
Yeah.
The source of that, we can at least start that, and we'll answer it on the other side, but the source of that is that Wilbert Smith memo, the Canadian official who had this document that's now famous in ufology, that he has been briefed by the U.S. government that this UFO secret is higher than the H-bomb.
Yep.
And then he says something else after that, right?
Yeah, he said, we were also told by American officials that other things might be associated with the flying saucers, such as mental phenomena, and the Americans aren't doing very well. Because they said if we're working on it, they're willing to exchange credentials and talk to us.
Meaning there's a psychic research, or is
We didn't really know what it was, but it's significant because Betty and Barney Hill, we now know that we have a pretty good idea aliens are telepathic. But we didn't know in 1950, because Betty and Barney Hill didn't become public till 1965. The first contactees who said they were telepathically talking to aliens didn't appear till about 7 days after the detonation of the hydrogen bomb in 1952. So in 1950, there was nobody walking around saying they were talking to aliens.
All right, Grant Cameron, I'm going to have to cut you off there. We'll continue that, but let you finish your sentence there, and then we'll take a couple of phone calls on the other side. The Clinton UFO storybook is our subject. Robbie Williams, this is a song from 2005 called Advertising Space. Some very thoughtful lyrics, if you've ever heard it. We'll be right back. We're talking with Grant Cameron about his new book, The Clinton UFO Storybook, so much that we haven't had a chance to touch on, but we'll be opening up the phone lines with your questions and comments, and then we'll allow Grant to finish his thoughts on the issue of UFOs and consciousness and psychic phenomena, what the possible connection is. We'll be right back. So to allow Grant to finish your thought on that, the Wilbert Smith memo talks about UFOs being the most classified matter in the U.S. government, that the Canadians had been briefed on it, and then it goes on to mention something about mental processes or consciousness, psychic phenomena. In your book, you mentioned there are other indications that there's a connection to that. Ben Rich, for example, right?
Yeah. First, I'll say that my conclusion as to why the Americans knew in 1950 before anybody was talking is that you know the story about the live alien, and now we there's a lot of testimony that there was a live alien at the Roswell crash, and the people that interacted with the alien said it was talking in their heads. So that would maybe what all the classification is about, maybe not so much the craft, but this consciousness aspect of the live alien. But Dr. Eric Walker, former president of Penn State University, we chased him around for 8 years. He knew what was going on. And we were asking him about the MJ-12, and he was talking in rhymes and riddles. He said, you know, I can't talk about this and stuff. But when we talked about MJ-12, is it still 12 guys? Is it Americans? He said, let me ask you a question. What do you know about ESP? And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, unless you understand about ESP and how it works, you will not be taken in by the control group. Very few people understand. And then Jan Hartson, 2 years later, Walker's was 1991. In 1993, Ben Rich is giving the lecture to the alumni engineers at UCLA, and Jan Hartson is there, and he makes the comment, we've got the technology to take ET home. We've discovered the mistake in the equation. You know, it's not going to take a lifetime to do, but it's going to take an act of God to get out of Congress. And Jan Hartson had a close encounter experience at 9 years old, was fascinated, wanted to build a flying saucer as a kid, and running after Ben Rich and said, Ben, I need to know, how does it work? How do they get here? How does the propulsion system work? And Ben Rich turned around and said exactly what Walker had said 2 years before. He said, let me ask you a question. What do you know about ESP? And Jan Hartson said, I didn't expect a question. He said, it means everything in time and space is connected. Ben said, that's how it works. Walked out, got in his car, and drove away. And you can even take a look. There's 20. If you look at the Edgar Mitchell survey that of 2,200 experiencers, 14% of them say they've flown the craft. And I've talked to 36 people. And every time they start talking about flying the craft, I stop them and I say, let me ask you a question. How do you fly a craft? Nobody has said anything different. Everybody says the same thing. You do use your mind. And I've got an actual collection of audios of people telling me how this works. So if you have the craft that's being flown by the mind, this is a critical part of the thing that really hasn't gotten talked about. And it actually appears in the Rockefeller Initiative documents. Scott Jones, who was the guy who went in with Rockefeller to brief Clinton's science advisor, actually says, consciousness is the core issue. If the government hasn't realized that, it has kept itself out of the loop of possibly understanding of the phenomena and what responses to make. So it was discussed in the Clinton administration. They were talking about mind control. Some of the people were talking about that this got nothing to do with nuts and bolts and stuff like that. So there's indications that they knew back then already as well.
Let's take a couple of calls, starting with east of the Rockies, Nigel in Albany, Georgia. Hi, Nigel. How you doing?
George, great fan. Grant, thank you so much. You're an asset. George, again, congrats on your Peabody Awards and, of course, your journalistic prowess on Area 51.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
No, of course. With that said, alien UFO stories aside, Whitewater, Benghazi, to mention a few, Hillary mishaps, Tobin. I am an astrologer. My colleague that I work with very closely, John Zaslow, we do research on effectual matters of moon, outer space debris called Romberg Detritus. Now, there are 790 debris labeled as colors through the spectrum, amber. Another color called Prince Harry, slim. A version of, well, also chances are very slim that Hillary will get a 790% chance to be elected. I don't want to talk politics, however, here. So what are your thoughts on Grant? Again, you are spectacular at what you do. Grant, what do you think about that?
Well, whether she gets elected or not, I really don't care. And Steve says the same thing. It really doesn't matter whoever's talking about it. This is still a historic book of two people, very powerful people in the U.S. who had, you know, the reins of power for 8 years, who are very interested in UFOs. So it really doesn't matter to me whether Hillary gets elected. This is an issue that has actually now gone to the White House, where it may not even make it. I don't think it's going to make it to Hillary Clinton's election, because now you have the White House press corps asking very serious questions in the White House press briefings, and the one woman who asked the last question told the press secretary, "You're not going to get away with this." I mean, the attitude has completely changed in the media. They realize there's a story, and they've been had, and the whole attitude of the media has changed to UFOs.
Let me ask you this. Nigel was mentioning about astrology in the book, and we haven't even touched on this. You get into sort of some of the more exotic interests that Mrs. Clinton had, and also her predecessors, first ladies.
Yeah, first ladies have always been very interested. You know, Nancy Reagan was into astrology. They actually said they were running the White House with astrology. And Jimmy Carter's wife was very interested in Uri Geller and his spoon bending. And I'd been told that Gerald Ford's interest in UFOs was actually his wife. So you have all these type of things. And Hillary actually got caught with this thing with Jean Houston. She was exposed by the Washington Post for this channeling thing. And she said it wasn't channeling, but she was talking to Eleanor Roosevelt and Gandhi. And then they wanted her to talk to Jesus, and she said no, she didn't want to do that. But that was picked up by the Washington Post and spread all over the place. And while she was in the White House, and she backed off that kind of stuff. But the Clintons were bringing in a lot of New Age people, and they have an interest the same as some of the people in the UFO field. They seem to be just interested in spiritual stuff and New Age stuff, and they backed off it. But now, for whatever reason, Hillary's pushing it again.
West of the Rockies, Brian in Seattle. Hi, Brian. You're on with Grant Cameron.
Hi, guys. My concern about these stories that have been surfacing regarding Hillary and Podesta is there's too much talk about Area 51, and I don't mean to offend you, George.
No offense taken.
But, those of us that have been in this field and have been looking at UFOs for years knows that there are several places that they could go to see if there's anything. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the Blue Room, the Vaults, Homestead Air Force Base, and Utah. And let's speculate that they actually send a task force, which is what they said they might do, which they tried before, to Area 51, and we all have our doubts that this will happen. They're going to get a runaround. They're going to be laughed off. There's going to show, here's an empty hangar. See, there's nothing here. S4 is not even really a part of, or wasn't a part of, and George, would you agree that the majority of the stuff going on at Area 51 is mundane National Defense Research? But my question for Grant is, and I said Utah for a reason, because one of the most important things that I think you have investigated, Grant, is the deathbed note by Colonel Weinbrenner that you investigated about a certain facility in Utah. And if Podesta tries to send a task force to Area 51, the whole thing's going to end right there.
I would maintain that they don't have to send a task force. Even there's a story told in the early 1990s that the Senate Appropriations Committee, Senator Byrd was very interested in this, and he sent Dick D'Amato, his legal guy, and Dick D'Amato came back from Area 51 and talked to Jesse Marcel and said, I couldn't get to the bottom of this, but this thing's for real.
So I can confirm that because Dick D'Amato talked to me. In fact, I briefed him sort of about Area 51 before he made his trip out there to look around.
And he confirmed the fact that this thing's for real and that he couldn't get at it. We're trying to talk to him now too, but he doesn't want to talk either. So he's playing the game. He's you know, going along. He could come out, and it's almost like if you had a congressional investigation, it would be over by the first coffee break. You bring up Dick D'Amato, you bring out Cheney, you'd bring three or four of these type of witnesses, put them under oath, and it would be over. The only thing that's saving him is none of these people are forced to talk, and nobody's under oath.
Let's go to, let's see, first-time caller, Tim in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Tim.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I can't give you the time frame, but I remember this was all over every news facility for about 2 days. I can't tell you if it was 2 years ago or 2 months into Obama's reign here, but it was. I watched the telecast. I want to say that George even had it in a news. Excuse me, in a news cast, the one he does first the show. Obama and everybody talking about it, that he appointed an ambassador, and I know I'm going to get the title wrong here, an intergalactic ambassador. And I remember that she was a black woman, about as tall as he was and a little heavier. That's all I remember. I don't remember her accolades, if they even talked about them. And that was all over the place for about 2 days. Ain't heard nothing since. And all the folks you've had on, and I'm an avid listener, and everybody that comes on and talks about this subject or skirts it, nobody has ever mentioned this. And your screener said that was the first she had ever heard of it. And I'm a news hound, and I do, but it's hard to miss Mr. Obama. He's better at once, twice a day, somewhere on some media, more than Clinton was.
And, well, I tell you what, Tim. Let's let Grant jump in there. So, Grant, have you heard something about an appointment of an intergalactic ambassador? Because that one got by me.
I watch Obama pretty closely, and I have never heard that.
Yeah, sorry, Tim. We can't help you on that one. Haven't heard about it, but thanks for the call anyway. We're going to try, let's see, how about Summer in Lawrence, Kansas on the wild card line? Hi, Summer.
Hi, thank you. Hi, thank you, Grant and George, for taking my call. I guess my thought was on the ESP and why it's such an issue with letting us know because of the ESP. If you see the whole world and the amount of poverty and negativity that comes from that poverty, it would almost be like an overload of negativity on the aliens themselves if that's how they communicated. If they could hear all of our negative thoughts, it might sway them from wanting to get to know us because of the amount of it in this world. And maybe until we can start even just thinking more positively, if we would be more likely to be contacted directly instead of through the government.
Well, Summer raises an interesting point, Grant. We're talking about government secrecy. There's a whole other level higher than that, and that's the whatever this other intelligence is that doesn't reveal itself.
Oh yeah, they're playing the secrecy game as well. If you look at the experiencer survey, people will be saying that, you know, they're here and they're trying to raise consciousness, and that it's almost like the idea that, you know, we can go over to some country and treat them like, you know, natives and tell them how to live their lives. And then next thing you know, they're shooting at us and stuff like that. So the aliens aren't using a approach that we would use to sort of invade a country and think that we can change the people. They're trying to do it indirectly, and that's the survey shows that that's what the experiencers who are actually interacting with them are telling us, that it's a slow process, and they're going through, you know, people and trying to raise consciousness, and those people are raising other people's consciousness, and that's the way it's being done. But it's not a direct thing. Even Wilbur Smith had said they are not allowed to interfere. That was the guy that ran the Canadian government program. He said the only time they would interfere is if there was a nuclear war. Otherwise, they're going to allow us to stew in our own juices.
Joe in the Bronx on the wild card line. Hi, Joe.
How are you, George?
All right.
I wanted to ask Grant now, let's say the American president is allowed to produce disclosure. How will that affect the situation globally? Will it force the hand of other nations to disclose what they have on ET and UFOs? And also, it seems that you're describing the mechanisms to be a mental-mechanical interface in how they're able to operate these craft.
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship. As to what's going to happen, I wrote an article on my website called "The Reasons the Government Has Decided Not to Tell You the Truth." I got about 65, 66 reasons. I never really believed until the last 6 months it was ever going to happen, because I couldn't see why they would ever let it go, because there's so many things that could go wrong, and government wants to be sure that they know exactly what's going on. So whatever's changed, I really don't know what's changed. As to other governments, what this is a game of cards. And Scott Jones talked about, he was the guy that was in the office briefing, helping brief the science advisor. He tells a story of going to the Chinese. He worked for Claiborne Pell at one point. And he went to the Chinese, and he asked the Chinese, and he was dealing with very high-level Chinese officials. He said, "Why don't you disclose? Why don't you beat the Americans to it?" And the Chinese told him, "If the Americans disclose, we'll be a close second." And it comes down to, if you put your cards down on the table, and you have the 20% that the Russians need, now the Russians have the 100% and you don't have any. So it comes down to everybody's trying to get everybody else to put their cards down, because everybody's missing pieces of the puzzle, so nobody wants to put their cards down.
Yeah, I remain skeptical about disclosure. I have...
It doesn't make any sense. I agree with
no.
you.
No. So maybe, you know, assuming that Clinton gets elected and she and Podesta are in there, they have something in mind that they're going to release. Maybe it's cases. Maybe it's NORAD has collected cases, UFOs over nuclear bases, something like that.
Yeah.
You release that as opposed to a film showing aliens landing or something.
Yeah, but it does seem that they have something. It's planned. Like, if it's Podesta, it's not going to be a crapshoot. He's going to... He knows what he's doing. He's been there, and he will be her chief of staff if she wins. Podesta will be her chief of staff.
You know, one other thing I want to mention really quickly is about Project Moondust and Blue Fly. We talked about this years ago on this program, these programs that were listed as for the recovery of sort of alien craft, things that fall from the sky. The government, as you note in the book, has sort of formally rejected the idea that these programs ever existed, and yet you have records showing that they did.
Yeah, and I tell the story about Clinton. There's a story told about the Virginia crash, which happened during the Clinton administration, and the Brazilian researchers constantly tell the story. It's a couple of weeks after the Virginia crash occurred, and this is the one where they recovered the live aliens and the craft. The Clinton's Secretary of State showed up there, and the head of NASA. And the Brazilians were saying right from the word go, just when it happened, they were saying the agreement was that the Americans would get the craft in exchange for putting a Brazilian on the space shuttle. And shortly after, a Brazilian started to train on the space shuttle. So these kind of stories are all around. And so you have, you know, but the records do exist for the Project Moondust type stuff, where they're picking up, you know, material from all around the world, which makes sense.
Well, it'd be interesting to see you know, who is in the loop. You've detailed who is not in the loop. You think the president has to be, but Seems like most of the government doesn't have a need to know.
Yeah, unless you're working on the program, you don't have a need to know. It's interesting, you know, who Hillary's talking about when she says, "If I can get an agreement," whether she's talking about MJ-12 or whether she's talking about the head of NSA and Director of National Security, or who she's actually talking about. But the thing is, when the reporters are talking to Hillary, they sort of drop it. They'll ask one question, and then they go off to something else rather than pressing the issue. I mean, if she was confronted about this, what does she mean? Who's she going to talk to? You could sort of get to the bottom of it. But it's sort of like one question here, one question there, and then it sort of falls through the cracks again.
Well, we'll try to press at some point. Uh, hope hopefully there'll be an opportunity to do it. Grant Cameron, thanks very much for being on the program. The Clinton UFO Storybook. We have links on the Coast to Coast website. You should check it out. It's a pretty interesting book. Talk to you again, Grant. Coming up, Chris Mellon, who spent 20 years working in national security positions, who has a lifelong interest in the UFO topic. Tell us what he learned while he was on the inside.